have to be your biggest fan. And when things are really tough and they're really rough and nothing's working, but there's something inside of you that says, I just have to follow that. Because you don't know who you're going to be, who you're going to be, who you're going to be.
Hello and welcome along to Better Days with myself, Georgie Crawford, and my friend and performance psychologist, Jerry Hussey. Thank you for joining us today. I hope you're well. We're coming to you 24 hours earlier than planned with this episode because it is so relevant to what's going on in the world with the Beckhams. So last week, I got an email from a girl who got in touch about a parent who is a bit controlling, who she feels is slightly overbearing at times, and she's trying to break free from that. Myself and Jerry had the most beautiful conversation. You'll hear me say it at the end, but I think this is my favorite episode of Better Days ever, purely because Jerry comes at it from such a compassionate place. And I think the whole world is obviously glued to what's going on with the Beckhams, but underneath it all, there is a broken family. There is broken hearts. And I think it's so awful the way the press stir it up even more. So I really hope that anyone who feels like they're struggling in their family dynamics, I really hope that this podcast will help. I hope it will help you come to the table with compassion and understanding. And I think we all need a little bit more of that, don't we? So I really hope you enjoy this episode, and please do let us know what you think. Before we get into it, I want to thank the HIA, the Health Insurance Authority, for supporting Better Days this season. The start of the year is a great opportunity to review your health insurance plan, because without even realizing, you might be overpaying for health insurance, or you could be on a plan that no longer suits your health needs. The HIA is a government agency, completely independent, and they're not selling insurance. Their role is to help you make an informed choice. You can use their free health insurance comparison tool to see what plans are out there and what might suit you best. I've had a look at this website. It's really easy to use and well worth 5 minutes of your time. Head over to the hia.ie. Welcome along to Better Days with myself, Georgie, and Jerry. We're so happy to be here. Jerry, how's it going? You're looking great.
Well, thanks very much. Thanks for the compliments. we're matching colours almost. That's good. It was a memo sent out, was there?
I think we're on the same wavelength today, definitely.
I just wish I could let my hair flow down the front of my face like you can. My hair is actively flowing backwards. So, but I may have a plan, so I'll say to listeners, watch this space.
Watch this space. Jerry, so obviously over the last couple of weeks, we've been asking people to send in their dilemmas, and you always point out that there's usually a common theme. But a lot of people seem to be struggling with this one at the moment. So I just picked one of many of this dilemma. So let me read it out to you. Georgie and Jerry, I'm writing with a dilemma that I feel a lot of people might relate to, especially when distance and adulthood change family dynamics. I moved to Australia a while ago, partly for opportunity, partly to find myself. The move has been amazing. I've grown, I've become more independent, and finally feel like I'm building a life that reflects who I am. But with that growth has come a painful shift in my relationship with one of my parents. Even from the other side of the world, they still lean over me. Every decision I make seems to be questioned or judged, how I live, what I prioritize, whether I'm doing enough or doing things the right way. It's subtle sometimes, but all the time. Phone calls that should feel supportive often leave me second guessing myself, feeling small, or like I've somehow disappointed them just by being me. I know my dad loves me. I also know their behavior comes from fear and control and of their own unresolved issues. But knowing that doesn't stop the impact. I feel torn between wanting their approval and wanting freedom. Please help.
A great one. And as you said, I think it resonates with a lot of people. We're just after Christmas, but they always say, if you think you're enlightened, go home at Christmas and spend 3 weeks with your family. So, you know, when human dynamics come to family dynamics, it's a tough one. So firstly, I hear exactly what she's saying. Secondly, there's a simple model. I think we might have used it before. In any situation you're in life, it's A, C or E. A is accept. So accept it as it is and continue to suffer. Most of us don't want that. But some people do. We've talked about people in the comfort zone, people who have adopted the victim mentality, people who believe that they are victim and that's their personality and they can just accept their suffering. This listener obviously is not. So the second is A is accept. The second is C, which is change. So sometimes if you have someone that's like this, being controlling, vindictive, negative, manipulative, the first thing you have to do is bring their awareness to it. So you have to have the courage and confidence to say, this has to stop. And the way you do that is not by selling somebody you're wrong, the way you're behaving is wrong, because most people don't believe that. And most people, when you push them, they push back. So this is a nice way of doing it. You sit with that person and you say, I know you're a loving person and I know you deeply care about me. However, when you say this, or when you behave like this, this is how I feel. I feel belittled. I feel devalued. And then you say, and I care about myself too much, and I care about this relationship too much not to address this. So you're saying, it's my issue. I'm not saying that you're wrong. But I'm saying in this relationship right now, this doesn't work because I feel belittled, I feel devalued, I feel demeaned, and I care about this relationship enough. So one is you try change, and the first step to change is awareness. Have you had this conversation? Have you said it? Not that they're right or wrong. Have you tell them? Have you explained how they make you feel? So one is try change the environment, try change the person through awareness. Now, secondly, there's a second part of C, which is change your response. So ultimately, people can only do what they do. They can only say what they say. How you feel about what they do has nothing to do with what they did. So you have to begin to change your response. If you are emotionally impacted by someone, it means that they still have some control over you.
Yeah.
If you're upset because they're not giving you affirmation, it means at some level you still require their affirmation. So what we all learn as adults is that we stand on our own 2 feet. And what I did once was I surrendered my parents from the role of being my parent because I had expectations. And very often, and I've wrote about this in my second book, The Freedom Contract, when it comes to families, we all have these, well, you're my sister, so you should. But did that person ever agree? She's my mum, she should. But did she ever agree that? So there's too many shoulds. There's too many expectations. So have you ever sat down and said, what is the role of a mother? And has that been agreed with your mother? We have this, once you put the role mum, dad, brother, sister, now we attach to that label huge emotional expectations that maybe that person is simply not able to deliver. And as I said on another podcast, we're never let down by people. We're let down when they don't meet our expectations. So if you can't change them, we can always change our emotional response to them. And the starting point is not saying, I'm angry because what they said. You're saying what they said triggered an anger in me, or what they said triggered a belief in me. So I'm the angry one. Nobody can make, if you absolutely believe you're enough, nobody can make you believe you're not enough. If you believe you're courageous and strong, if you believe you're doing the right thing, if you believe that your life is to live your life in a certain way, then live it. But don't be looking over your shoulder. It's like when I was at a show and I had the bungee cord and I attached the bungee cord to one side of the stage and I started walking across. And a lot of people start, you know, I move home and I do this and I do this, but they keep looking over the shoulder. Are my parents proud of myself now? Am I getting the affirmation that I didn't get as a child? you're still looking back, which means you're still being emotionally pulled. So to change your emotional response, it's to look deeper. What in me, whether it's a belief or it's an old past, what in me is being ignited when they say that, when they behave like that? And what's the work that I would need to do to cut that emotional cord? And then, of course, we've A, we've C, which is change them or change your response. And then E is exit. And exit means get rid of them, put them out of your life. So ultimately, we're all free beings. Some people have chosen not to have a relationship with their parents. I know people that when the parent passed away, they were living abroad and they choose not to come home. And you think they're going to have huge regrets. They didn't. They were at peace with that. So ultimately, we have to stop being a victim and we have to take responsibility. Either I'm going to accept it or do nothing about it. I'm going to attempt to change them and change my response, or I'm going to exit. Now, if it's someone like a parent, no matter how good or bad they are, they're the only mum you'll ever get, they're the only dad you'll ever get, I'd be very slow to exit them out of your life. But what you might need to do is reposition them. What you might need to do is set a new terms and conditions as to how the relationship unfolds. And that's why I'm saying that sometimes you can surrender yourself, allow them to retire from their role. Because I'm an adult now, I have this sorted, but you're somebody that I would love in my life. But in order for me to have you in my life, the terms of the dance has to change. I don't need you to be my mother. I'm surrendering the expectations that I have. I want you to be somebody in my life that I love. So nobody should be allowed to be emotionally in your life unless you've made that decision.
Do you feel sometimes like the older generation, the fears or the constraints that they lived in, sometimes they're passing on to their children?
100%. And I think, you know, particularly when I became a dad, you know, it brings up a lot of fears. It brings up a lot of different stuff. And one of the questions I had to ask myself is, what is it that I'm not handing down to my children?
Yeah.
What is it that ends with me? So every generation has a role of ending something. Now, also remember, they grew up in a totally different environment. So everybody, go back to Louise Hay, whether you know it or not, or whether you like to believe it, everybody's doing the best they can. So ultimately, if you're to sit back and not observe their behavior, ask, why are they behaving like that? What's the pain they hold?
Yeah.
What's the trauma? What's the fear? Maybe they never learned how to love. Maybe the only way they can express love is by controlling. So don't focus on the behavior. Focus on the person who's behaving that. Hurt people, hurt people. So if you're to really look at them, what's the pain they've never resolved? What's the belief they hold? And if you can understand why they're behaving the way they do, you might actually end up feeling compassion for that person. Not anger, not hatred. You might realize they're doing the best they can. This is how they express love. This is how they express that they care. And I think that's with all people in life. It's to recognize, it's a really hard expression. Everybody's doing the best they can with what they have. But they are actually. And I think if we can meet each other with more understanding and more compassion. So I've one live situation where it's a mother-in-law with a client of mine and it's difficult. And I asked five questions about the mother-in-law. Questions like, what was her relationship with her mother like? Or very bad. What was the relationship between her mother and her dad? Very bad. So what type of environment do you think did she grow up in? Unstable, a lot of tension. How do you think that impacted her? What was the trauma she experienced? She lost her brother. Do you think she dealt with that? Probably not. So this lady that you're giving out about is a kind, loving human being that's deeply in pain. So how are you going to meet her when she comes to your house? That's emotional maturity. It's the behavior is the behavior. What's behind the behavior? Now that's if you have made a decision that you want this person in your life. But to have someone in your life that you're just giving out about, that's no way, because now you're a victim. Well, I have to have her in my, I have to tolerate her. That's no good. That's you suffering. So it is about looking at how this person, who is this person? Why are they doing what they do? And then that goes back to your emotional response towards that person. That's just how they are. And I know what they've said is really not fair and really, but you know what? I'm choosing to have them in my life.
Can I read out just a part of that resonated with me? I know my dad loves me. I also know their behavior comes from fear, control, or their own unresolved issues. So how could you encourage somebody to deal with that if they're unwilling to see that they have a problem with those particular issues?
It's a good question. The first thing is you have to build a relationship with them. You have to build a relationship whereby they know that you love them and you trust them.
Mm.
Because if there's tension, if there's conflict, no one's going to open up vulnerability and emotionally. So maybe when things are going well, you could say, you know, you have a bit of a tendency to control. And they might say, oh, well, I know. Where does that come from?
Mm.
And you say, like, it doesn't really bother me. But where would you think that comes from? But the first thing you have to do is get the tension out of the relationship. Or you might say, you know, at times you can be very quick to judge. And most people say, I know that. Where do you think that comes from? And that's as simple, you're asking the invite. But the question can only be heard if the relationship is right.
Yes. And you have to create a safe space for that person.
You have to create a safe space, but you have to consistently turn up to that person with nothing but love. Because otherwise, if you just nice them for a day, they're not going to open up, because you have to be consistently honest, upfront and good. So ultimately, they know this person has nothing bad for me. Mm-hmm. And there's people in my life, you know, that sometimes I wish they'd turn up differently. One time ago, it used to really annoy me, but it doesn't now, because I've actively made a decision. I want them in my life, even as they are. And I'm willing to look beyond their behaviour at times and ask deeper questions. And some of the people, some of the people who, in a certain dynamic, would say, Jesus, you know, Jerry clashes with so-and-so more than anyone else, because everyone else just stays quiet. Everyone else just goes behind their back and bitches about them. Nobody else really calls them out. So everybody would say, you know, which two people in this room clash the most? And they say, Jerry and so-and-so. But then if you ask the same question, this really difficult person, of all the different people in their life, which person in this group has the best relationship with them? They'll say Jerry. Yeah. Who does she open up most to? Jerry. Who does she be vulnerable around? Jerry. And it's like people can't understand the relationship at times. Because ultimately when she sits with me, she knows I'm honest. I'm straight up. And actually that's what I like about her. Because sometimes when she's giving me your opinion, it's the best opinion she has because she cares. It doesn't matter if it's right or wrong. That's what you have to think about. Am I willing to work at this? Am I willing to be honest? Am I willing to be open? And there's been times where me and that person have been out for dinner in a certain situation and we've had a row. Because at that point, something was said that could easily been let go. And I'd say, no, I'm not done.
Yeah.
We could take this up. So if you engage with me, you engage with someone that's honest and transparent. But if you're willing to work a little bit, so who in this group fights the most? Everyone say Jerry and so-and-so.
Mm.
But that difficult person that nobody else in this group has a good relationship with, who has a good relationship with? That's a fucking Jerry.
It's so interesting that you're saying this, Jerry. It's so wise, because in our family, and you know my brother Mick, over the last couple of years, we've butted heads a bit. But actually now, as you're talking, it makes sense, because myself and Mick are so close that we are able to speak our true feelings and hold up a mirror to each other and feel safe enough to butt heads. and say how we really feel and resolve that conflict, and then our relationship grows deeper.
Yeah, it's exactly that. And it's also an acceptance of what the relationship will feel like. So if you want it to feel all nice and happy all the time, it's fake, because it's not a real relationship. So this person who I butt heads with would also have a relationship with people in the group, and they're all happy and they're always getting on, but they're bitching about each other. And they know they're bitching about each other, but they're not willing to call it out. So that's not real either. So I think it's ultimately asking, what's the relationship I want? And if it's a real and meaningful one, it takes a little bit of work. It takes butting heads at times, but it takes you to consistently turn up non-judgmental, non-resisting, and saying, I really want you in my life. And it's taken those little things, like the times where I have butted heads with that particular person. Afterwards, I'll send them a message and let them know, you're really important to us. And you're so important. It's so important to me that you're in our life. It's also important that we're in each other's life, honestly and respectfully. But if today in that I in any way offended you, or if I've missed something, I'm truly sorry. And even the willingness to send a message straight afterwards shows you, because it doesn't sit easily that we had an argument. I'm not going to go on the hoof because I really want you to be in our... There's a lovely expression called fracture and repair. So sometimes you fracture a relationship. You have a row or you say something unkind. How quickly do you repair it? And repair starts with, I'm sorry. And you're too important for me not to say it. And you're too important for me to allow this. In another episode, we talked about the gaps that appear between couples. If you leave things fester, the gap appears. And then it's been unsaid. And then the next time you meet, it's so long since it happened, you kind of pretend it hasn't happened. That's weakness. That is weakness. Let's pretend it didn't happen. Don't worry about it. We don't need to talk about it. No, we do need to talk about it, because it's important and you're important. And therefore, when that person got that message from me, they knew it was a hard thing for me to do. But they knew that's how deeply I wanted them in my life. So you can't have someone in your life and say, they're in my life, but don't really want them in your life. If you don't really want them, remove them. Find a way out. If you can't change them, change your response. But ultimately, I think, ask yourself, if all things were possible, what is the relationship that we could create? And is that something worth pursuing? And if it is, pursue it.
A short break to mention our sponsor, the Health Insurance Authority. If you're anything like me, you might be renewing your health insurance policy year after year without even thinking about it. Well, it's time to take your plan and your health into your own hands. If you don't shop around, there's a good chance you're either paying more than you need to, or you could be missing out on benefits that could really support your health right now. The Health Insurance Authority offers a free tool that makes health insurance comparisons, covering every plan on the market. Head over to hia.ie where you can explore your options or get support by phone or email.
You know the way you say waiting is quitting? I love that. What do you say when people say, they're too stubborn to change, they'll never change, they are who they are, you better just leave them? Is there a way to help somebody become less stubborn?
That's the second C. So you're right, they might not change. The question is, do you want them in their life? So the question is, and even if they don't change, is it worth having the conversation? Is it worth bringing the new level of awareness?
Yeah.
So you can't start by saying they have to change. You're saying, if I turn up in a certain way, if I consistently turn up in the right way, there's a chance they may want to change.
Yeah.
But I can't make them. I can't control them.
And that's that creating the safe space.
Always.
Okay. So running away and not acknowledging it is not a good way to approach anything, right?
No. And it's taking ownership. And that ownership might even be a letter. If a conversation is too difficult, it's a letter. The letter is about you take responsibility. This is how I feel when you act like this, when you turn up like that, when you come into our house and do this. This is how I feel. And I'm taking ownership of that. But I'm also taking ownership of it can't continue. I really want you in my life. I'd love us to have a better relationship. And I'm asking you what the first step of that might look like.
The thing that you said on the first episode, let the other person speak until their heart is emptied, is one of the most incredible gifts that you could give somebody that you care about. Mm.
I often do conflict resolution with teams or corporate teams, and you know, might go into a group sometimes, and you know, you've been told, you know, you have to earn your money here, Jerry. There's a lot of tension. The geese guys don't like each other. They actually hate each other. So I start off, I sit them in a circle, and this is the question I ask. What is the one thing that you don't know about your teammate that if you did know would change everything? What is the one thing about your colleague that you don't know that if you did know would change everything? So what I'm asking is look beyond the behaviour. Because when someone behaves in a certain way, we form an opinion as to why they're behaving like that. Because they're angry or they're lazy or they don't like me. But did you double check that? We had a meeting once where one guy was late all the time and it drove one of the team absolutely nuts. Bananas. And eventually they called it out. And he was like, "Sir, I promise I won't be late again. I promise I won't." He kept turning up late, right? Eventually I said, "Did you ask him why he's late?" I said, "No." So when he asked, he said, "I'm late on Tuesdays and Fridays because of a little boy that's really sick." And one of the things he likes to do is go for ice cream with me. And our local shop opens at 9 o'clock in the morning and it closes at 4. I work till 6, so I can never bring my little boy for ice cream during the week because of my work. So sometimes what I try to do is I try to bring him to the shop. We're there at 9 o'clock. I get him to hold the ice cream cone, eat it as quickly as I can, get back, and I try to be at work for 9:30. But sometimes it doesn't work. He said, "That's why I'm late." And the boss said, "What type of ice cream does he buy?" He said, "He always buys the same one. A flake, a 99 with chocolate sprinkles." And the boss said, "What do you do when you're eating it?" He said, "We just sit there." And for that moment, he's not a sick little boy anymore. And for that moment, I'm not a worried dad anymore. It's just a little boy having an ice cream with his dad. He said, "It's what gives me hope." And the boss said, "And when you're having that ice cream, do you be thinking about work?" He said, "I'm always trying to get him to hurry up, because I don't want us to be late." And the boss said, "From now on, I don't want you to be at work before 11 o'clock on a Tuesday and a Friday." He had spent 3 years being fucking angry at a guy when the guy was bringing his sick kid out for an ice cream. He let that fester for 3 years.
Yeah.
We let things fester. We build up stories. We judge people, we criticize them, and we don't even know why. Ask why. Why are you late? Why do you turn up like this? What is the one thing that you don't know about your mother-in-law that if you did would change everything? That's a question I asked myself once, and it changes everything. Anyone that knows me knows, you know, the Christian message is really important to me. And I don't know if Jesus was divine. Sometimes I don't know. That might be more of a Hollywood script. But we do know he existed, and we do know if there's historical accounts. And what do we know of him? He met everybody with compassion. He didn't judge anybody. And even the people who hurt him most, he said, "Forgive them. They know not what they do." He could see their pain. And I just think that if we could turn up with a little bit more compassion and a little bit more understanding and a little bit curious, maybe the person isn't lazy. Maybe they're not angry. Maybe they don't dislike you. Maybe they're not bad with time. Maybe they're an amazing dad who just wants an ice cream with his son. And unless we have that level of understanding, that's the relationship I'm talking about. To truly understand someone, you have to put in the hard yards. I've worked with sports teams where tough, rugged men, and they talk about high performance and how we're going to win this, how we're going to win this. And the first session I do is I sit them in a circle and I ask this question: what's the greatest pain you've ever experienced? Because if you're not comfortable saying that in this room, we don't have a team.
Yes.
So the butting of heads changes to a connection of hearts. And when you see your enemy through the eyes of their pain, they're not your enemy anymore. And that's how quickly you can decompress something. What's the pain they carry? What's the trauma? What's the why? And if I really knew their why, if I knew their minds, if I knew, would I still continue to judge them? And if I do, then that says more about me than them. So with all of these podcasts, Georgie, the theme is there's a pain in our life, and the pain is external, caused by our boss or caused by the weather or caused by something. But the work is going inward and asking, what in me is being brought up by this person or this situation? What in me? Where pain is inevitable, but suffering is an option. Where am I suffering? Where have I latched on to a story that might not be true? Where am I bringing my own bias into this? Where am I comparing that person? What in me needs to change before I can have a relationship with this person? So this podcast started by you asking me, how do I change these family members? You don't. You change you. And you change whatever it is that's keeping you attached to the behavior and preventing you to go on deeper. It is about compassion. It is about self-awareness. And it's about asking those deeper questions. What is it that I would need to do that might enable us to have a great relationship?
Gerry, that's stunning. Possibly one of my favorite episodes we've ever recorded. Thank you so much.
My pleasure. Thank you.
A huge thank you to you for tuning in today. Thank you so much to Gerry. A beautiful episode. I hope you'll share it with your friends, maybe some members of your family, and make sure to keep the feedback coming. Thank you so much.
And when things are really tough and they're really rough and nothing's working, but there's something inside of you that says, I just have to follow that, because you don't know who you're going to be.